Well, welcome to Believer's Chapel. Pumped that you're with us this morning again. Can I ask you a serious question? Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Do you understand the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? That means all mankind, because of the sin of Adam and that DNA spread, therefore there is zero perfection in man. All are short from God, every one of us. But Jesus Christ paid for that. God loved you and I so much that he would send his only begotten son to die on a cross. And if you believe that, if you understand, my sin separates me from God, but Christ died on the cross for me, and in that my sin was poured out on his son, and in that the Bible says to confess Christ as Lord. That means that we come to a place to recognize we are distant from God. Listen, it's not the church you grew up into. It's not your family. It's not because you tithe. It's because you recognize sin separates us from God. But you recognize the love of God, that he sent his son to die on a cross. And the Bible says if you confess that Jesus is Lord and you believe that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says then you'll be saved. Jesus himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. It's a one-way road, man. There's one way. Jesus said, I'm the keeper of the gate. Nobody gets past this gate unless you go through me. Again, when you understand the reality, it's Christ alone, and he took the hit for us, and he provided the way for us. It's not church. It's not your tithe. It's not your attendance card, which we absolutely will never have. It's not. It's Christ on the cross for you. On purpose, gang. It was all on purpose. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior this morning? When there's a day that every one of us will stand before God, and on that day, is Jesus going to look at us? Is Jesus going to look at you? Say, I don't know you. You never confessed me as Lord. You thought you'd get in by this. You thought you'd get in by that. You thought you'd go around to another gate. You thought you could get in by this gate. You thought you could go by this one, but you never came through my gate. I don't know you. Let's bow our heads for just a moment, please. Gang, do you know Jesus? The Bible says, he who calls on his name shall be saved. The Bible says, you confess that he is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. But it starts with us realizing our sin separates us from him. But God had such a love for me that he would send his own son to die on a cross for me. And in my understanding of that, there's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way to get before God, to be innocent and holy and justified again before God. And it's because a sacrifice was made for me. And Jesus was that blood sacrifice, the one-time sacrifice for all, for the sin of all man. One time. Paid for. And it's on you to come to a place to believe that. God has done everything that he can do. The Bible says that the Spirit of God will come and he will convict our hearts, but we got to respond to that. It's simple. Will you just come to a place and say, God, forgive me of my sin. God, I've tried to enter through many different gates. I've tried the good enough card that doesn't work. I tried the other religion cards that doesn't work. I tried walking on the parent card that doesn't work. I tried just church attendance, God, that doesn't work. Jesus, it's only through your gate. God, I'm asking that you forgive me of my sin. My sin was put on that cross on your son, and I am forgiven. Jesus, I confess that you are Lord. I confess that you are master, that you are supreme, and I put myself under you. I submit myself to you. My heart is yours. I belong to you. I know that you're alive right now. I ask that you would live within me by your Holy Spirit, and that I would walk in obedience to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, in prayer this morning, I just had a sense that we just needed to go in a place after worship to know that we have the opportunity to be saved, and it's only through Jesus. It's only through Christ. Christ on a cross, man, come on. Hey, again, we're in this series. And in worship this morning, in the first service, the Lord put on my heart to extend this message. We're going to go 1 week past Easter, and then we're going to get into the next series. But I just feel like there's another message. There's so many different messages, but I want to extend it one more week. Next week is Easter weekend. Going to have an amazing time. Undefeated one. That will be a powerful, powerhouse message. Bring your neighbors, bring your friends, bring your family. Don't miss that message. It's going to be powerful. And then we'll get into the last message in this series called Guard. It's been a powerful series, this message on guard. Again, when you understand what it is, where God has called you and I, when we covered this 2 weeks ago, and when we started this series about guard, knowing that we're on the enemy's turf, knowing that Jesus placed us there on purpose. Listen, there are those who are sheep, and there are those who are goats. There's God, there's Satan, there's heaven, there's hell. There's only two teams. And in this world, the enemy reigns. You've got to understand that, man. This is his world. Bible tells us that. We covered this 2 weeks ago. And in the middle of that, in Jesus' prayer, right before he gets arrested, right before he goes to the cross, crying out to the Father, saying, God, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world. I mean, it would be awesome, awesome if we just get saved, we come to realize who Jesus is, and then we never have to worry about darkness, never have to worry about the evil, never have to worry about why does bad things happen to good people. It's just completely removed. It's amazing that Jesus didn't say that. He said, God, I'm asking that you not take them out of the world. But I'm asking that you protect them from the evil one. And then he goes on to say, just as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. That's amazing to me. That Jesus, my King, my Master, my Lord, would say, I'm not asking that you be taken out. I'm sending you in. You are to be on the enemy's turf. Again, when you realize what that means, why wouldn't we come to a place to see what God says? Okay, God, you're not going to make me go naked, God. You're not going to make me go in without any weapons. God, you're going to clothe me. You're going to understand what it is to protect myself and to guard myself and to do what's necessary, Father, to fight the battle that you've called me to fight. He's never going to send us out naked. Just, well, good luck with you. Go into the world. He gives us everything we need to know in his word on how to guard ourselves and protect ourselves while we're on the enemy's turf, doing his service, advancing his kingdom, doing his will, being salt, being light, winning the lost, standing our ground according to the word, being steadfast and immovable. All of that, gang, at times you're going to take some hits. So what does God say about it? He says, man, you got to protect your mind and you need to protect your heart. Last week we covered what it was to protect your mind. If you missed that, go to Living Out Truth and get that message. Get that message, folks. Because, man, I re-listened to that message. And I broke down in the middle of me watching that message. Think about so many who've been just let their guard down to their mind. That the enemy has come in and just destroyed. And then today we're going to talk about what it is to guard your heart. And I want to make it so clear to you this morning. This is such a serious, serious message. One verse shows us the reality of what takes place in our heart. And when you understand the seriousness of what God says, knowing that we're on the enemy ground, knowing we're sent right into the battle, surrounded by darkness. Gang, we shouldn't be surprised by darkness. We shouldn't be surprised when the enemy tries to attack. Listen, when we understand this, the Bible says, listen, we're to humble ourselves. We are to resist the enemy. We're submit to God, resist him, and he will flee. It's not a difficult equation. But we shouldn't be surprised when he comes, because he will come. That's why God goes over and above to tell us, take guard. Protect yourself. Guard yourself. Don't let your guard down. Don't let the enemy in. Don't let the influence in. And God goes above and beyond to give us everything that we need in his word to know what it is to guard our hearts. Come on, let's ask God to bless our time. God, we thank you for this morning. God, this is one of those messages, God, in a message, God, in a verse can change our lives. God, I pray in this place, every one of us would be aware. Every one of us, God, would really understand the intensity of this thing today, how serious this thing is today. God, I ask that we all would have an eye to see exactly what you would have us to see. God, you know the condition of every heart in this place, God. You know where every single person is in their mind and in their heart in this place. You know that. God, I'm asking that we would come to this morning to say, God, you speak to us today. Right where I'm at today, speak to me. We come with an ear to hear from you. And we come with an eye to see what you have for us. And we come, God, with our heart open to respond to what you say. Now, folks, please, I ask that you would ask God this morning, God, speak to me today. God, speak into my heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, two places with me this morning. Proverbs 4, Psalms 101. Proverbs 4, Psalms 101. We'll be to Psalms 101 in a minute, but we're going to talk about Proverbs 4. Man, I you got to see this, because this is Proverbs 4, verse 23, man. This is where we're going to start, kick off, and we'll try to get this done. Now, I want you to see this. Bible says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Again, this is God telling us to guard our heart. Listen, Proverbs is awesome. I love Proverbs. It is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I try to read it every day. It is God's advice, gang. Please know that. This is God's advice to man. When you're going through an issue or your back is against the wall and you call Aunt Mary or Uncle Joe or you call somebody or you talk to a friend at work and the advice that they give you is not God's advice, flush it. Please. Why is it that we go to Aunt Mary before we go to God? Why is it we go to unsaved coworker before we go to God? Honestly, there's so many times that I'm going through and I'm looking, God, I need advice on this, whether it's marriage, whether it's financial, whether it's raising my children, whatever, God, whether it is just wisdom in leading people, whether it's the church, God, what? Man, my first reference is Proverbs. There's so many times that I gain all the advice that I need right in Proverbs. It is God's advice to man. Why would we go to Aunt Mary when we can go to the creator of the universe who knows all things, who knows our tomorrow? I think I'd rather go to him. And if you have an Aunt Mary, I'm not referencing her, okay? I'm just saying, God bless Aunt Mary. But I'm saying, how about we check out the advice of the creator first and stick with what he says. And this is his advice. Knowing that he sent us into the world, into the place where the enemy dwells, to win as many people as we possibly can win. And he's given us everything we need to know it takes to guard our hearts. And he says this, watch over. And the word watch over, it means to guard. It means to protect. It means to block. Gang, this is a military term. This is a term that the military use. Listen, we are going to put a blockade up. We are going to guard this fortress. Nothing is going to penetrate this fortress. That's what this word means. There's intensity behind this word. Listen, nothing gets past us. This is a military term. Guard, protect, block. With a vengeance, man, nothing gets past these borders. Look what he says. Watch over. Guard, protect, block your heart. With what? With all diligence or with an intensity. This word diligence, it means with intensity, on full alert. Gang, this is not for the weak heart. This is not for the wimp. This isn't for the thumb-sucking saint. This is for those who say, I know that I'm in the middle of the battle, and I'm going to take his advice, come to a place to realize with an intensity, I'm going to block my heart, man. I'm going to protect and I'm going to guard my heart. Because the seriousness, everything you see today in regards to the heart here, it's not your 8-ounce blood pumping vessel, okay? This is talking about the heart here biblically, Old Testament, New Testament. It's referencing the inner person. It's referencing your thoughts, your emotions. It's referencing your convictions, your courage. It's referencing your conscience. That's what it means. It's talking about who you really are. So when God says, man, with an intensity, you're supposed to guard who you are. You're supposed to protect the inner person. You're supposed to protect your thoughts and your emotions, your conscience, your convictions, your courage, who you really are. That needs to be guarded. That's what he's talking about here. And then he says this, for from it. Why is this so important, folks? Why is it that God says, man, with a military term, you are to guard, protect, and block your heart with an intensity, man. Don't ever let your guard down. Why? For from it flow the springs of life. Look at this, verse 23. Everything comes from the heart. Who you really are is what your heart is, folks. So when you know that you're on the enemy's turf, why wouldn't you come to a place to protect who you really are? Man, I just want to go over a couple verses. I want to show you a couple verses this morning And just we're just going to touch him. But when you see heart in all of these verses, it's referencing who you really are. So when God says, from it flow the springs of life, man, this is a serious deal. You've got to understand how serious this is when God, the creator of the universe, who knows you intimately and knows every detail of your life, has said, listen, Sean, you need to protect your heart. Because look at this. The Bible says, seek him with what? With all your heart. The Bible says, I will give thanks to the Lord with what? With all my heart. Gang, can I ask you a question? In our time of praise and worship this morning, did you praise him and did you give thanks with all your heart? Or was it just kind of half-hearted, or was it to a place to say, man, all that is within me, who I really am, is going to come to a place to give him praise and to give him thanks. And I love this, Joel 2:12. This is God speaking to a nation that has drifted. He says, you will return to me. And it's amazing that God put a condition on the return. So, oh, God will receive me and I can come back, which is true, but he puts a condition on it. What happens, gang, when you drift? What happens, gang, when you know a friend or a family member or one who's gone to church and you know that they've let their guard down and they begin to drift away from the Lord? Man, they've been walking the fence, one door in, one door out, one step in, one step out. Tonight I'm in, tomorrow I'm not. Today I'm a Christian, tomorrow I'm not. And they walk this line and they begin this drift because they let their guard down. You know what God says? I want you to return to me. But I want all your heart. I want all of you. I want your emotions. I want your thoughts. I want your convictions. I want your courage. I want your conscience. I want you. And he says this, trust in the Lord. How is it that we're supposed to trust in the Lord? Guard your heart with an intensity, for from it flow the springs of life. Gang, there's so much to come from when you have the understanding of what God says about who we really are, what God says about the matters of our heart. Everything is connected to our heart. Look at this. Mark 12:30 says this, love the Lord your God with what? Again, with all. I'm all in, God. All of my love, God. I will love you with all, not half-heartedly, not hypocritically, God, not just with lip service, but God, I will be all in. Gang, it's a matter of the heart. 1 Samuel 12:24, fear the Lord and serve him again with what? All your heart. For where your treasures, it's amazing, even your money is connected to your heart. For where your treasures, where your finances are, there your heart will be also. And the offering this morning, man, did your heart show up in the offering today? And the serious question, did who you really are show up in your giving today? Because that's a matter of the heart. Isn't it amazing that God says, protect that, guard that with an intensity, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, I want to get into Proverbs 4 and blow this up. That is just a few of what God says is issues of our heart. So it's a serious deal this morning, man. It's a serious deal that you and I understand when God says to protect it with intensity. Man, he says that on purpose. He says that you're not to lower your heart. There's so much that's attached to your heart. This is so important. Don't ever let your guard down. Because it's that. Because so much is attached to your heart. Don't ever let your guard down. That's what God says. Come on, look at this. Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart with a diligence, man, with intensity. Be on the alert. For from it flow the springs of life. He's verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes, look what he says, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet. All your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. And the only direction we're supposed to turn is away from evil. Now look at this. I'm going to break this thing down for you. Verse 25 says this. Or verse 24 says this, put away from you a deceit. He just told us to guard our heart. And the first thing he talks about after that is your mouth. That's amazing. I love the order of Scripture. Listen, God himself in Proverbs 30, don't add to it, don't take away from it. I love the order of Scripture. He just says with an intensity, guard your heart. And the first thing he talks about is our mouth. Matthew 15:18 says this. But the things that proceed out of the mouth, gang, where does it come from? It comes from the heart. This defiles the man. It's the first thing he talks about. Luke 6:45 says, for from his mouth speaks that which fills his heart. It's amazing, gang. All you have to do is listen to people. They'll tell you if they understand forgiveness. They'll tell you, man, you can know if they understand grace, if they understand forgiveness, if they understand what it is to be wronged and yet forgive somebody. You can tell in the words they speak. You can tell the condition of their heart. Or you can tell somebody who's bitter, someone who's angry, someone who's confused, someone who's just hurt and broken, has never got over it. It could be years past, and if they are still spitting out bitterness and anger, gang, they have not gotten over. Why? Because their mouth speaks that which fills the heart. That's how serious this is. Look what he says again, his advice. He who guards his mouth guards his tongue, and he guards his soul from troubles. God's advice about our mouths. He who guards his mouth, guards his mouth and his tongue, guards his soul from troubles. Again, same military word. He's serious about this. Again, we just think we can just say anything we want to because we live in a free country. That doesn't mean everything you say is right. Please hear that. Amazed by our free country. I don't ever want to lose our freedom. I don't ever want to lose freedom that I believe God has given to this country. But that doesn't give me a right to say anything I want to say. Because God, who trumps the government and always says, Sean, you better muzzle that and you better put a guard on your mouth. Because the words you speak could cause you some serious trouble. Man, being a police officer, I know, I understand. When someone spews out stupid, it causes them more trouble than they need. That's just the truth. That's, take advice from a cop. If you spit out stupid to a cop, you're going to get more trouble. They will find something wrong with your car on purpose. Promise you that. That's true. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. But look at this. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. And I was talking to someone the other day. And I've known this person for several years. And their life is coming to a head. And not a Christian, doesn't know God. They know me. I've tried to witness to them. Talk very deep about Christ and different things in life. But he's going through such a struggle. And I told him, dude, it's because your mouth. You can't shut up, man. You can't keep your opinion. You have no right in this circumstances to give your opinion. And you can't stop. You can't shut up. You're negative. And you're downing everybody. You got no right to do that. And you know what? It's caused you a place to come to ruin. This verse has come alive to people. Because you can't keep your mouth shut. And all of a sudden, all these things. And then we still blame everybody else. But if we would just take a verse for what it says, the one who guards his mouth, man, preserves his life. But the one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. And all of this back to a place where God says, guard your mouth. Because from it flows the things that are in your heart. So why is it that God says with an intensity, you're to guard your heart? Because eventually, through your mouth, what's really there is going to show up. That's serious. Come on, what else does Proverbs say? It says this, verse 25, let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet. Let all your ways and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Look, it says, look directly ahead. Be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet. Do not turn. Gang, what God is talking about here, he's saying, listen, be focused, man. Pay attention. Stay on course. Be steadfast. Let your heart be steadfast. Don't go by every wind of doctrine. Don't go by where the waves flow. Don't go by public opinion. Don't go by popular opinion. Don't go at times with what certain churches or certain pastors will say when it's against God's word. Well, this person wrote a great book. Well, it goes against the only book that has truth and life that is unquestionable. But yeah, but this guy's popular, but what he says doesn't match up with the Word of God. Do you realize that God says, guard your heart. Be fixed. Stay on course. Don't turn to the right or left. Don't go by popular view. Don't go by what your college professor says if it's against the word of God. Don't go by what the church says if it's against the word of God. This is what he's saying, because we can let our guard down, folks. But he says you are to put up a guard that is intense, that nothing can penetrate it. And he says this, I want you to see this. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you, man. Stay focused. Watch the path of your feet. When you do that, all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. And you realize when you know that you're on the enemy's turf and you're there on purpose to do a work, to advance his kingdom, to be salt and light, to win the lost, the hurting and the broken, don't think for a minute that the influence of the world is not going to be crashing down your door. Sometimes that influence can be false, whether it is from a college professor, whether it is from a pastor, whether it is from a book, whether it is from school, whether it is from wherever it may come. What happens to that heart? Matters of the heart that is steadfast. Psalm 57 says this. My heart is steadfast, O God. He says it twice. My heart is steadfast. My heart, God, my heart. I put a block, God. I am protecting it. I'm guarding it with an intensity. And God, you said that it is to be steadfast. It is to be fixed. It is to be focused, God. It's not to go with every wind of doctrine. It's not to go with the waves of the sea. It's not to go with public opinion or popular opinion. God, it is to go right to this, and I'm going to be fixed on this. I'm going to set my heart on this, and God, I will be immovable. I will be fixed. I will be established. That's what steadfast means. My heart, what is it, folks? Who I really am, my convictions, my conscience, my thoughts, my emotion, the inner person, who I really am, unchanged. Who I really am, not moving. Who I really am, steadfast. Who I really am, immovable. Fixed. Because my heart is steadfast, oh God. My heart is steadfast. And he says this, I will sing, yes, I will sing praises. Gang, that is like a powerhouse statement. Like, God, my heart is fixed and established. And in that, God, I will give you praise. He says that twice. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises. I love this, Psalm 112. He will not, look at this, please get this, gang. This is so real. He will not fear evil tidings. You know what evil tidings is? It's bad news. He will not, it doesn't say bad news is never going to come. No one in this room is excused from bad news. No one. No one in this room is above bad news. Bad news will come eventually. Gang, we live in a fallen world. Bad news will come. But the Bible says this, he will not fear that bad news. Why? Because his heart, back to the matter of the heart. Look at, why does it say, from which all things flow? This is so real and so serious. Guard your heart. Why? Because he will not fear. When you come to a place to realize, I'm not going to let anything penetrate this heart, because I want to come to that place that when bad news comes, I'm not going to fear it. Why? Because my heart is steadfast in what? Trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Back to Proverbs 3:5. Look at how they're connected. It's amazing. Proverbs 3:5 says, I am going to trust and depend upon and rely on the Lord with all of my heart. He will not fear bad news, for his heart is steadfast. Doing what? Trusting in the Lord. And his heart is upheld. And he will not fear. Wouldn't that be great? Come on, wouldn't that be great to come to a place that you walk in such a relationship with God that your heart has been guarded and protected, that even when bad news comes, you will not walk in fear because your heart is fixed, because your heart is steadfast. And I believe the way to get there is through the Word of God, folks. Because again, he says this in verse 26, watch the path of your feet. Well, how do you do that? Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, that thy word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path, or a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When you understand the word of God is a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. And he says here, watch the path of your feet. How do you do that? Through the word of God. God, your word will direct me. God, your word will reveal where I'm supposed to step. God, your word will be my guide. It will be a light and it will be a lamp to the road I walk. Come on, Psalm 119, 11 says this. Your word have I treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Come on, look at this. All matters of the heart this morning. Why is it that God says, protect it with a diligence, man? Be intense. Why? Because your word have I treasured where? In the deepest part of who I am. Why? So that I may not sin against you. Gang, they're so real when we come to a place to understand His word. How much time are you spending in His word? How much time, honestly, are you spending on your face before the Lord in His word, saying, God, I want to hide this here within me, who I really am, the deepest part of me, so that I will not come to a place to sin against you. God, it is my desire that I not sin against you, God, but I want to walk in a place because your word is revealing things in my life, God, put into my heart that, God, I am not going to sin against you. Gang, nobody in this place is perfect. There are times that we walk in sin, but it is those who've hidden the word in their heart that come to a quick conviction and a quick come to a place of saying, God, I am sorry. Father, forgive me. This is sin. When we're going to preach through the Lord's Prayer. That will be one of our series coming up. Cannot wait. But you realize the daily part of that prayer is to ask God to forgive us of our debts. Every day. Every day. We're supposed to get before the Lord and ask Him to forgive. But then we come to a place and say, God, your word have I treasured, man. I have put it in my heart. Because it is never my desire to have known sin in my life and it be against you. It's the power of His word. Psalm 37, 31. The law of His God is in His heart and His steps do not slip. Okay, how much time are you spending in the word? I want to take a couple minutes. I want to talk to the men. Psalm 101, please. Gang, I'm hoping that in covering so much that you really begin to see how serious one verse can be. When God gives you personal advice to guard your heart with an intensity, with diligence, because, man, from your heart flows everything. Now, if you will, I want to talk to the men in this place this morning. It's funny because I was at a place one time and there's a young woman who came up to me. And, you know, first thing out of her mouth was, well, I'm a feminist. And it was like an aggressive tone. And I'm like, wow, that's your open? I'm like, I mean, come on. What are you? I'm a follower of Christ. I mean, I don't know what you want me to tell you. I mean, I'm so shocked. I'm like, okay. And she says, man, if you got a couple minutes, I want to sit down with you and tell you why I left Believer's Chapel. And my mind went to, I think you just did. I mean, I don't know, right? I mean, make sure I'll give you a couple moments. And like, I mean, honestly, you go into that conversation, I'm doing something else, totally prepared. I'm not even supposed to be there doing this. And I'm just like, wow, where is this going to go? I mean, seriously, you're like, come on. So I'm like, all right, we'll sit down for a couple minutes. Great. And then, you know, biting my tongue as hard as I possibly can bite my tongue. And then that wasn't working. So I'm biting my lip because it's a little more tender, you know, because it would hurt a little more. And she's just saying, listen, I'm offended because you address the men so much in your church. Bit on my lip a little harder after that, just to be careful. Asked her a couple questions that shut that whole thing right down. And can I tell you that it is an absolute honor and a privilege to lead and pastor so many men who have such a desire to walk in a great fear of God, to lead their children and to lead their wives in a God sense as the leaders of their home, to lead and to love their wives as Christ loved the church, sacrificial love, to serve them in the way that Jesus served. It is an honor to serve and to preach and to minister and to lead and to be friends with some of the most amazing God-fearing men that I've ever met, folks. Men in this church. Gang, the fact is this. If you get men, you get the family. If you get the men, you get the family. And you have teenagers who understand what it is to be a God-fearing man. You've got college students who understand what it is. And their next step to get married, to follow after God, to have such a fear of Him, to hate evil and sin, and to lead their families in a spiritual way that they are walking in a sense to know what it is to honor God in their homes, to love their wives as Christ loved them, to serve and sacrifice for their homes, to protect their homes, to provide their homes, to stand guard at the door and not let evil in. Gang, can I please hear an amen from all the women in this place today? Yeah. Please. Oh, that's a little, come on, a little louder than that. Thank you. Gang, the fact is this. Men, I want you to hear this, please. Look at your Bible, man. Psalm 101. This is from a man. Familiar with him. King David, who was a man after God's own heart. Made his mistakes, but he was a man after God's own. He knew what it was to walk in forgiveness. He knew what it was to be convicted. He knew what it was to be broken after sin. And God said, this man is one that knows my heart. And David pens this, I will sing of loving kindness and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? And look at this right here. Get this, please. Don't miss this. Watch this. I will walk within my house. I will have a daily practice. It will be day after day. It will be step by step. I will walk. Gang, when you see the word walk in Scripture, it means step by step. It means a daily practice. I will walk. It will be day after day. It will be step by step within my house. And what he's talking about in his house, he's talking about his wife. He's talking about his children. He's talking about his kids. He's saying in the atmosphere of my home, day after day, what he says, in the integrity of my heart. He says day after day, step after step within my home, I will walk with the integrity of my heart. Who I really am will be transparent. The innermost part of who I am, my thoughts, my emotions, my conscience, my conviction, my courage will stem from integrity. And the word integrity here, it means innocence. It means to be above reproach. It's a sense. Could you imagine? If someone knew you and they knew you well, so that man leads his home with integrity. I mean, there's so much to that word I don't know of too many greater compliments than that alone. I'd love it on a, if you have to write something on a tombstone, wouldn't it be amazing if it was the absolute truth? He led his family with integrity. And you come to a place. I will walk, and it'll be day after day, step by step, within my home, within my house, with the integrity of my heart. He says this, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. It will have no influence on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. A crooked, warped heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. That's from a man who's leading his home. Teenagers, if you're in this place and you're a young man, please hear this. College young man, if you're in this place and you're not married yet, you need to hear this. Because there will be a day. There will be a day if you are a man of integrity and you have the respect for the girl that you might marry one day. You will go to that father and ask her hand in marriage. Wouldn't you want that dad of that daughter to look at you and say, man, you will lead her in the integrity of your heart. Man, I very much am excited to give my daughter to you because I know that you will walk in great integrity. Husbands, what if you're in this place today? You come to the place that I want to walk, man, day after day, I want to walk. Step by step. That I would be above reproach. that I would be upright, that I would be straight, that my integrity would be from my heart. That'd be who I really am. And you come to a place this morning. Say, God, I don't want to put any worthless thing before my eyes. God, I hate the work of those who fall. I don't want to have any of that influence on me. God, I want any perverse heart. God, if there's anything in my heart, God, I want it far from me. Because I will know no evil. Could you imagine if you, teenager, college student, adult, male in this place, and you come to a place to say, I want to walk to a place to have such a fear of God and such a hatred for sin. Do you imagine? Could you imagine the impact and the influence you will have on your family? Come on, let's bow our heads, please. Men, you are to guard your hearts with an intensity. Men, how have you let your guard down? College student, how have you let your guard down? Teenager, how have you let your guard down? Because God says that, man, you as a male, you as the man, your heart, who you really are, should be filled with integrity. You should strive to be above reproach. You should strive to be innocent. That's where you should be. Man, dad's in this place. Would it be amazing if your sons looked to you one day, and knowing the home that they grew up in, knowing this is my dad, this is my father, would it be amazing if you, being that man of integrity, you day after day, walking step after step, revealing to your son one day what integrity really means. That he looks to you and say, man, when I get out of this house, I want to walk as my dad walked. I want to be like my dad. Because who he really is a man of integrity. And man, that was his daily walk, man. That was step after step. What about you being a father of a daughter? Wouldn't it be great if she looked to you and said, Dad, because of who you are and what you have shown to me day after day as I've lived in your home, I only want to marry a man one day who has your integrity. Could you imagine? Honestly, could you imagine that impact on your home? That impact on raising your children, how you've affected your wife, how you've treated your wife, how you've walked in integrity, how you've provided, how you've protected, how you've loved, how you've served, how you have a great fear of God, and how you have such a severe hatred for sin, and how you want nothing to do with it, how you have blocked it, how you have protected your home, how you have set a guard over your home, that you come to a place where your son looks at you and say, Dad, I want to be like you. And your daughter comes to a place that I won't marry anyone who's not like you. That's a man doing his job, folks, biblically. Come on, what if you're in this place this morning and you're like, Sean, I didn't have that dad. You're male or female. You're like, I didn't have that dad. I didn't have that influence. Man, I came to Christ after being out of the house. Man, the spiritual bloodline, folks, it can start with you. It can start with you. That you dig into Scripture and say, God, what is the man that you want me to be? And let it start with you. That chain will never be broken again. Guard your heart with an intensity. For from it flow the issues of life. God, I just ask, God, for every one of us in this room, male, female, teenager, college student. God, that you would reveal to us where we've let our guard down. Whether it's been a sense of drifting from you, whether it's a sense of not getting into your word, whether it's a sense of not really walking in a steadfast place, being fixed or established, or listening to the latest, greatest, or listening to popular view, or listening to the waves that come and go. God, wherever it is, Father, I pray that this morning, by your Holy Spirit, we would raise up a guard again. And that we would come to a place, please hear this. You come to a place this morning, say, God, I will return to you. But this time, God, it is with all my heart. No more half in, no more half out, no more drifting, no more listening to popular view. God, I'm all in. And at that point, God, I will set a guard over my heart. And I will watch carefully with an intensity. God, we thank you for this morning. God, please. God, let this word just sit in our hearts. God, let us meditate on your word today. God, let it rearrange our lives. God, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for speaking to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Folks, listen. This weekend, as you know, man, it's a huge week. We're pushing it hard. We're on the radio pushing it. College students, I know that you're gone. God bless you. We love you. I pray that you find yourself in a church that preaches the gospel and preaches the truth. Man, if you are going for holiday weekend, man, we bless you. We do. We love you, man. We welcome you back. Can't wait to see you in 2 weeks. Folks, Good Friday service is going to be one of those intimate moments with us and God. It's going to be powerful. And then our Easter services and then our Seek. It's going to be a great weekend. I'm hoping Monday morning that you are as tired as I will be. But I'm hoping that you will be as refreshed as I will be. So you guys see, Monday mornings, man, I'm out. But there is such a stirring in me and there is such a refreshing to know God just did amazing, amazing things in the weekend. Next week, and I hope Monday morning you wake up and you're just exhausted but refreshed and just amazed at what God can do in one service. Amazed at what God can do in one service. Folks, I love you. Please, please be inviting people for this upcoming weekend. God bless you. Give God thanks, please. Come on. Amen.